Hello and welcome to yet another Dead Haunted podcast. It's a special one today. We're talking all about our haunted house with myself, Phil Wyman, Aaron Weedland control as usual, and the lovely Sarah. Today we'll be talking about Sarah's experiences and what she's encountered here. We'll also be hearing from Wayne and Donna Dean, who are two of our team leaders, and their experiences within our haunted house, and also Jeff Andrews, who's also had an experience too. We'll be talking about our Halloween events and what we got up to over Halloween at the Old Hall in Tatton. And we'll be talking about team leaders. Do you want to be a team leader for Dead Haunted? So sit down, stay tuned, and listen up.
Ghosts, spooks, spirits, or phantoms. Whatever you want to call them, many people believe that they are real. Over the next half an hour or so, we will be dipping our investigating toes into the paranormal bubble bath that is the Dead Haunted Podcast. So why not grab your rubber ducky and join us?
Here we are then, podcast number 24, can you believe it? But this one is a special, as you said, it's a mid-month special podcast, just a little something, because I believe you've been having some activity in your own home, your own haunted house. Phil, give us a bit of the history of what's been going on.
That's right. I mean, we've been living in this house now. It's a hall, and we've been living here since April, and it dates back to 1300s. Now, when we came to look at the place, as you do, being an old location and being avid ghost hunters and paranormal investigators, etc., we always tend to ask, is the place haunted? And to our surprise, yes, apparently, the owner told us that there are two ghosts, at least, here. So we thought, fantastic, great opportunity, we'll take it, doesn't sound anything serious. And ever since, really, we've kind of experienced all kinds of strange incidents. Firstly, the first incident we noted was we've got a shed key, and it was in the week we moved in, and we put the shed key on a hook where all the other keys go. And as we were moving bits and pieces around in the house, still getting settled in, we went to find the shed key to open the shed. Could we find it anywhere? No. Sarah looked for it. I looked for it. Donna, who was here, looked for it. First place we looked for it, on the key hook with the other keys. Not there. Couldn't find it. So what we had to leave it. What we wanted to do to get in the shed, so we had to leave it and put it to one side. About a week and a half later, I came downstairs in the morning, and Sarah says to me, "Where did you find the key?" And I'm like, "Well, what do you mean? Because you've just reminded me I've got to actually try and look for it." And she says, "Well, where did you find it?" I says, "What do you mean?" She says, "It's back on the hook." I says, "I haven't put it back. I haven't found it. I've still got to look for it. As far as I'm concerned, I haven't, what's it doing back on there? Did you put it back on there?" "No, I didn't put it back on there." We asked the folks that were here helping us move in, that had been visiting over the week and a half we were here. Nobody had seen the key. Nobody had put it back. But it mysteriously appeared back on the hook where it should be. Nobody knows how it got there. That's the first incident. And things have kind of progressed from there. Sarah's had perhaps the most experiences, certainly over the last 3 weeks or so. And I'm sure she can fill you in a lot more detail of what's happened from a personal point of view.
First one was during the day, wasn't it? Remember, you were working in the, we've got like a big main sort of hall where we've got the computer desks at the moment. And, Phil was working on his computer and I was about to go out somewhere. So I dashed upstairs into the bedroom to get something. We've got number of dogs, but one of the dogs had come with me, our little pug called Boo. And I went into the bedroom and Boo was following me like he always does. And as I came back out of the bedroom, the opposite door bear in mind it's daylight, it was just slightly ajar. And as I looked at the door, I could see a black shape, just sort of a... it's really hard to describe, but if you can imagine if somebody was wearing a dress or a cloak, kind of just went into that doorway and they just... you caught the back head, sort of tail end of the cloak whipping around the bottom of the door. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And it was just sort of that shape whipping around the bottom of the door. Well, my first thought is that it's one of the other dogs, because obviously pugs a fawn colour, a light colour, they're not dark. But the other dogs that we've got, little dogs, are black. And I thought, well, no, it can't be one of the other dogs because I know they're not out. But I went in the room just to check if there was any dogs in there. Obviously, when I went in there, there's nothing. And I can't explain that. So I just sort of went from the top of the stairs to where Phil was sat downstairs at his computer. I'm going, oh, I've just seen something spooky. And he's like, oh, and I had to go out then. So I had to leave him on his own, which he wasn't too happy about, were you, Phil, when I was sort of dashing out of the house?
No, it even kind of, yeah.
Broad daylight, but even so. But the dog didn't react. He didn't go in off barking or anything. And he followed me into the room, no problem. So... that was the first sort of incident. And then it was only, I don't know, about a week or so ago, I think now.
Yeah.
Phil had taken Bet and our son out to karting. I think he'd gone go-karting with him.
Yeah, that's right.
And it was like the evenings are getting darker now, so it was dark in here. But you see, I'm not that bothered about the house. It's not, even though we've heard that there's tales of ghosts and that, but I'm just of the mind that you just get on with things. You know, you can't walk around being frightened in your own home. And, you know, this is something that obviously interests me, intrigues me, but I try to just get on with things without even thinking about it. And I wasn't thinking about it at the time. I wasn't sort of going into the room thinking, oh, there might be something in there or whatever. I'd actually dashed in just to get my phone, and it was just coming dusk, sort of. It was dark in there, so I didn't put any lights on because I was literally going to grab my phone, which I'd been working on my computer, so I'd left it on my desk, and I'd go running in there to get it, and I picked my phone up, and as I turned around to come back out again, the hall carpet is cream, and in the centre, like the centre of the room, which is a fairly big room, bear in mind, there was just like a black solid shape that was black against the cream carpet, as if there were legs stood there, but not, I couldn't see like two legs, it was just like a black solid mass. Yeah. And I just saw that, and I didn't sort of hang around to have a look any higher up. I just saw the black against the carpet. I thought, okay, and I grabbed my phone and I went out. You know, when you go out of the room and you think, oh god, you know, like heebie-jeebies on, you know, hairs on the back of your neck. And it was just literally as Phil had pulled into the driveway. So I actually went, this is so sad to admit this, but I went and stood by the door, sort of holding it, and I'm sure you thought I was just holding the door so you could come in, but it was just like a matter of...
Yeah, I did, yeah.
I'm just holding it. If this is my get-out route, you know, if anything would have followed me through. But yeah, that was the second thing, so that was quite spooky. The house does have it has a feeling in certain rooms when you go. I mean, for instance, our son won't go into... There's a big bedroom, and he won't... Unless we're in there, even during the day, he won't go in, will he?
That's the bedroom that's... that's rumoured to have had Henry VIII stop in there. Again, legend has it that he dined at the hall when it used to be a lot bigger. The hall itself is a massive area that we don't really use an awful lot. It's got about 30-foot high ceilings, and it's big 17th century fireplace, which is of historical importance. So you can tell how old the building is and how much a noble family would have lived here, because it's such a big, impressive building and fireplace. We used to have our offices in what's called the Bakehouse, which is an area where they used to apparently prepare food back in medieval times, etc., before bringing it into the hall. We moved our office out of there because it's really dark. It's not very, you know, it's not very big, and we wanted more light, so we utilized the hall. So we moved all our stuff into the hall. Ever since we've moved out, I feel really, really uncomfortable sat here, especially if I'm on my own with my back to the fireplace and the Bakehouse we just moved from.
Like you are now.
Like I am now. I'm here on my own.
All right.
The series in the living room. So.
So the room that you're in now, would you have you experienced anything odd in that room?
This room here, the hall.
Where you're sat right now.
Yeah, this is where Sirius experienced the black mass against the carpet.
Okay, I've got an idea.
You saw there. Yeah.
I've got an idea. As we're all now, we're all recording. You're wearing a microphone. Why don't we now do a live EVP session? You do some calling out and we'll see if we can hear anything.
Well, I would do that, but I'm a little bit... I'm just a little bit weary because as I came in today, just now, to pick up this microphone and start talking to you, we've got an old acoustic piano in the corner, upright piano. Mm. And Ben, I'm teaching him bits and pieces of piano, and he normally sits at the piano with a chair. And we've got a wooden chair, and it was across the other side of the room. So he went and picked it up, and he put it by the piano. Did his bits and pieces, played his piano, and then we all went. And now I've just come back in here to find the chair literally 3 or 4 feet behind my position at the minute. And I said to him, have you moved this chair from the piano? And he was like, no, I've not moved it. And I said to Sarah, have you moved this chair? And she's like, no, not even touched it today. So I don't know how it's got in that position other than somebody moving it.
Perhaps the ghost knew that we were going to be doing a podcast and wanted to come and sit next to you.
He might have done. But it's just a very strange feeling sometimes. I mean, it's got that bad for me. It's not nasty, but it gets to the point where you get the hairs on the back of your neck stand up and you kind of senses go all tingly. And it gets to that point with me that I have to get up and leave the room. It's like there's somebody stood right over me, just looking at me, stood right behind me. Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean, aren't you? So would you be willing then if we all went quiet and just let you ask out?
Well, you can do, but you won't hear anything.
You don't know. Just an experiment. Just for the people listening on the podcast.
How quick Phil moves.
Yeah, well, okay. All right, if there's anybody here with me in the hall, I think that I can feel your presence here sometimes. Can you give me a sign to let me know you're here? Can you make a sound? Can you speak to me? Can you move something so I can see it? Nothing at the minute.
Can I just ask, what was that little bit of tapping?
What little bit of tapping?
There was a little bit of tapping on the mic. Was it either of you on the keyboards or mouse?
No, I'm not on the keyboard. I'm sat still.
No, I actually muted my microphone while Phil was asking out as well.
Did you hear the tapping?
I didn't hear it, no, I must admit.
I did. If you can find it on the recording, Aaron, and perhaps make it a bit louder just to have a listen, but I didn't hear anything.
Yeah, it just sounded to me like somebody tapping something like a mouse or. Mm. But if you guys weren't doing anything, I'm sat here sort of like, you know, my arms crossed. It definitely wasn't me.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't anything.
I was tend to, when anybody else is talking, to be honest, I normally just mute my mic anyway. So,
I mean, we've got some local history books that we got from the library the other day, and it concerns the area we live in, and the actual hall is mentioned, and it tells you a lot of the families that used to live here. And back then, in history, it had a reputation for being haunted, and indeed it mentions one of the bedchambers upstairs as being a haunted bedchamber, and nobody would go in it. Yeah. And we believe that bedchamber is actually where our son Ben sleeps. Obviously, we've not told him an awful lot about it, just in case it kind of upsets him or unnerves him a little bit, but he's kind of blasé. And the strange thing is, not only does it mention that bedchamber being haunted, but it also mentions that there's rumoured to be a headless woman in a long dress haunting the top landing, which is the landing that runs outside of our bedroom.
Ooh.
So when you kind of think that Sarah's seen what she described as, and she described this without actually seeing this report, because we haven't just found it, when you realise that she describes what she thinks is a dress, tail end of a dress or cloak going around the door.
Yeah.
You kind of think, hang on a second. Do you know what I mean? And then today, we were talking briefly about what we're going to talk about tonight, coming on here and doing the podcast. And Ben was downstairs with us. And he said, what about my experiences? And I'm like, what do you mean about your experiences? Because I'd known anything about this.
Yeah.
I says, what have you experienced? And he said, a breath. I'm like, what do you mean? Where have you heard it? He says, at the top of the stairs, and I've heard a breath. I says, how many times have you heard it? He says, twice, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, what did it sound like? And he just went, it sounds like this. And that's the first I've heard. So you can tell what kind of person he is to kind of not freak out at hearing anything like that, because that's the first time I've heard of it.
Wow.
Yeah, he did tell me about it. But he's one of these, his usual sort of 10-year-old, I suppose. When it comes to going to bed, he can find any and every excuse in the under the sun not to go. And just lately, it's the fact that he don't want to go to bed because it's so creepy upstairs. And we're like, Ben, you've got to go to bed. But then when you really sit and you think about it and you think, well, actually, do you know what? If that was me going up there on my own, and you maybe if you've heard these breaths, then you're going to be a bit edgy about it as well. So as a 10-year-old, I think I'll give him a credit. You know, he'll go up there and he'll go to bed.
He will
with a bit of encouragement.
He will make a fine ghost hunter when he's older.
Yeah, I'm sure he will. But, I mean, as I was talking to you before we came on the podcast, started recording it, we've had, because every so often when we've not got an event or whatever, we have people come over and spend the night with us, and they kip down. They sleep in the bedchamber, which is, as I mentioned a minute ago, supposedly the bedchamber where Henry VIII stopped. And we've had Wayne and Donna Dean stop over, who are obviously two of our team leaders and friends as well. They stopped over last night. And we've also had Jeff Andrews stop over. And he stopped over last night, but he stopped over before. Previously, Jeff has seen something, again, in the hall during one of our weekends when we were having a karaoke night like we tend to do every so often. And he saw something then. And I've got a clip of him over the telephone. I had a bit of an interview with him, and I recorded it. And he tells us a little bit about that and what he saw.
Myself and Wayne were sitting in the hall, and we were watching the karaoke going on. And out the corner of my eye, I saw someone stood by the big window. I turned my head really quickly, and for a few seconds, there was... like a figure stood there in a black long cape and a black hat, but then it just disappeared.
And as I mentioned just before, we heard from Jeff, Wayne and Donna stayed last night, and they experienced something last night in the bedroom that they stopped in. And this is what they had to say, and this is what they told us.
The weird thing what happened last night is when we went to bed, we were there, the lights went out, and there was actually a rattling coming from one of the latches of the door. But it wasn't just a one or a twice, it was more of like a rattling, like somebody were coming in. But the only problem is behind that door is probably a 9 or 10 foot drop. So there's actually no chance that nobody could be at the other side. Also, what was very strange is that I could clearly hear footsteps being walked up and down a little corridor on the carpet. Absolutely clear as a bell, walking up and down.
I also heard the rattling of the door that Wayne heard. It sounded like somebody was trying to get in because it rattled a few times. I didn't hear the footsteps that Wayne heard, though.
It nerved me. Yeah, I must admit, it were. I think after what we were what we were talking about, after going to bed and hearing rattling that door, the footsteps, it nerved me. I must have. I've got to admit it did.
Yeah, because you cuddled up to me for rest at night. You normally sleeps at edge at bed. And he didn't, he was like coming up to me, so he was touching me all the time through the night. And I says to him, were you scared last night? He says, I heard them footsteps. And I says, I didn't hear them. And he says, surely you must have heard them. He says, they were clear as a bell. He says, walking down your side at bed in that little corridor. And I didn't hear them. What was weird, though, was when I was trying to go to sleep, it was pitch black in the bedroom, but all I could see was a very faint silhouette of the window at the side of me. And it looked like something kept going back and forth past it. So I was thinking that were a little bit odd, but I wasn't sure if it my eyes adjusting. But then it felt like it got closer to my face, so I just shut my eyes and thought, oh, so my eyes getting used to it dark, I'll just go to sleep.
Yeah, and I told Donna that I heard footsteps on the carpet, and it was in the same area as where Donna was seeing something pass up and down the window where I could hear the footsteps. But I didn't tell her until the morning.
I've got a question I want to put to you both. there will be people listening to this podcast who have got their own haunted house. What should they do? What advice can you give them?
I'd just say don't do anything, to be honest. I mean, I'm not going to do anything about this. It's not bothering me. It's not affecting me. You know, obviously you get, like I said before, you get heebie-jeebies or whatever if it's dark and you're going into a room and you've got to switch the light on. But I think that's more psychological from my point of view. It's even like Ben said the other day. He says, I don't like going upstairs when I have to go to bed. And I said, why not? And he says, I go up the stairs and there's a landing to the left that goes off to the other bedroom, the big room. He says, every time I walk past that, he says, I think to myself, oh God, please don't let there be somebody stood there. But that's him that's putting that thought in his mind before anything at all, you know. So I think a lot of it is going to be in your mind. But yeah, going back to your question, I'd say don't do anything unless there's something really drastic happening. And then in that case, then let us know, you know, talk to us about it.
Check it out! You're in the company of Philip.
Hello.
Sarah.
Hello.
And Aaron.
Hello.
Who are you going to call?
Now, Halloween has been and gone. Very, very busy time of the year for you guys, I imagine. Where were you for Halloween?
We had two events that we hosted this year. I mean, we've not gone crazy at Halloween. I think sometimes if you go too much into it, you kind of it ends up being a quantity, not quality investigation or event, if you know what I mean. So we did two this year, two packed out events, and we were at Tatton Old Hall. And it's one of our all-time favourite locations. Brilliant history, lots of strange incidents to report every time we've been there. Brilliant host in Mick, who looks after us when we're there. And everybody had a fantastic time. On the first night we had was the 27th of October. And we were there and we had all sorts of things going off, as usual. Lots of Ouija board, lots of noises and unexplained incidents, especially things like stones being thrown. Now, I know people go, oh, God, it's not stones being thrown. But I can honestly vouch, 100% hand on heart, we've got no idea where they come from. It just totally confused us and totally kind of baffled us.
I think the strangest thing that I got, and I can't remember which night it was. I think it was Halloween night. And we were in the, the sort of living room area. And I was stood over by the fireplace. And we were just doing the usual asking out. And we heard, it sounded like there's like an old radio that's got a mesh front on it, you know, where the speakers are. Mm. And it sounded like somebody with the fingernails just sort of scratching on that. And that was pretty weird. And, you know, everybody heard it as well. So that's quite cool.
Any activity in the barn this time around? Because I remember when I was there, the barn seemed to be quite active.
Yeah. Actually, you just reminded me. You know, one of the devices we always talk about or used to talk about on the earlier podcast, the Ghost Touch devices.
Yes.
Well, we had the Ghost Touch too. And I took it in the barn, which was my first vigil, and I set it up. Across the little, you know, back area of the barn. Nobody was near it because we were near the front doors doing like Ouija boards and asking out, et cetera, and it triggered three separate occasions.
Wow.
So I thought, okay, strange. I picked it up and moved it to a different location, set it up, carried on with the boards and asking out and doing the other experiments, and about 5 minutes in, it triggered again. And I went to have a look at it to see what was causing it, if there was anything in the way that might be interfering with it, et cetera, et cetera. Couldn't see anything. But as I approached it, I heard, because there's obviously a lot of straw in the barn area, as I approached it and stood there looking at it, I heard this rustling sound, like something walking off from behind the actual area where the Ghost Touch 2 device was set up. So that was a bit freaky.
Wow.
Couldn't see anything. I could not see anything at all. I checked around, put my torch on straight away to see if there was any kind of mice or rats or whatever. And in the area where the sound was coming from, I could not see anything.
Were you actually asking for some sort of activity on the box, or did you just set it up and just leave it just to see what it would do?
We just normally set it up, start the asking out, and say, you know, there's a device here, and I normally go over and point to it. Because obviously, if somebody's like, if it's an old spirit, for instance, or it's an old ghost, they might not know what we're talking about. Mm. if you say, go stand near that device over there to make it go off. I normally go up and say, right, there's a device here, this is it, if this little box, if you come as close to it as you can, you know, we'd really appreciate it if you can try that for us. And then we go back and ask out and that kind of thing. And then, you know, as we're asking out, we again throw in the occasional request, again, go stand by the box if you're there, etc., and let us know you're there. And we always do that every time we use the Ghost Touch. So it was going off, and I suppose in some respects you could say that we were asking for it to be triggered. So it was a very interesting evening.
So what about you, Aaron? Have you been up to anything spooky just lately?
Well, I was involved in a charity ghost hunt at the Picturedrome Cinema in Bognor, organised by Simon Smith. And I'd like to thank him for the invite. Thank you. And we were there raising money for Mount Noddy, animal rescue place. It was great. It was a great night. I was there, my friend Stuart and Ian. And Ian's a bit of a sensitive, and he was picking up in Scream 2 what he claims was a gentleman who walks around the place, and he described what he was wearing and what he did and what he looked like. And it turned out the guys that had been there before said, yeah, this guy is known to the location, but he's normally walking around downstairs. He's the spirit that is seen downstairs. So we asked, and apparently there was nothing going on downstairs. It was, as you would say, quiet as a grave. So it looks like the guy that was walking around downstairs normally was upstairs with us. It was just so bizarre that Ian had never been there before, but everything he said tied in perfectly with what has been described.
Dead Haunted Nights, the UK's premier ghost hunting event company.
If you enjoyed a thrill of ghost hunting, then peace of mind on events should be a priority. Join a team you can trust to give you just that when it comes to things going bump in the night. Dead Haunted have taken countless thrill seekers to some of the UK's most haunted venues in search of paranormal activity. With Dead Haunted, if it happens, it happens for real. Dead Haunted, ghost hunting with a team you can trust. www.deadhaunted.com.
Now, the X Factor on the telly, you know, all these talent shows and all that going on. It's high time the paranormal world had some new talent. You're looking for new team leaders.
We are indeed. That was very eloquently put, that. Fantastic. We are indeed, yeah. In 2013, so obviously next year, we're going to be looking at taking on some more team leaders to help us run our ghost hunting events. We're looking for people that, you know, you don't have to necessarily have ghost hunting experiences, but it's an advantage, obviously. So is having an interest in the paranormal subject in general. And if you think you'd make a great addition to our fantastic team leaders already, then please do get in touch with us. You can email us at info@deadhaunted.com. And if you could tell us a little bit about yourself, why you think you'd make a fantastic addition to the team, whereabouts you're based, any kind of experience you've had, and that kind of thing. And include, if you can, an up-to-date photo. Okay, so we can get to know a little bit about you and read your bits and pieces and see who you are at the same time. So that'd be fantastic. If you want to be involved, if you want to put your name forward, then I'd say email info@deadhaunted.com and we'll take it from there.
And I'm guessing, Sarah, that if anybody applies that, you know, haven't used some of the pieces of equipment that maybe use our Dead Haunted event, then training will be given.
Oh, of course, yeah. What we'd do to start off with is invite people to come along and just sort of work with us on a couple of events and see how they like it and how we get on. And if we decide that, you know, it's going to work, then we'll not just drop anybody in the deep end. We're obviously going to, you know, tell them how to do things, show them what we do, the way that we do things, and just take it from there. We're a friendly bunch, you know, we look after you.
Well, I can vouch for that because that's how I started with Dead Haunted as well.
Yay!
So, yeah, if you're thinking of applying for this and being a team leader for Dead Haunted in 2013, then make sure you get in touch. info@deadhaunted.com. Make sure you add all the bits and bobs that Phil was just telling you about. Okay, before we go, Phil, Sarah, can you please keep us updated as to how you get on with your haunted house?
Yeah, we'll obviously give you regular updates either on the podcast or on the Facebook pages that we've run.
Okay, then. Well, that's about it then for this podcast, this mid-month mini podcast. Thank you for downloading it. Your continued support is valued as always. It's a goodbye from me.
It's goodbye from her.
Goodbye.
And it's a goodbye from me. Toodle-pip. Hello and welcome to a very special Dead Haunted podcast with myself, Phil Wyman, Aaron Weedling Control as usual, and the lovely Sarah. Today we'll be talking exclusively about our haunted house and Sarah's experiences within the haunted house. We'll also be talking a little bit about... can I do that again?
Yeah.
Okay. Hello and welcome to a very special Dead Haunted podcast. Hello and welcome to yet another Dead Haunted podcast, which is a very special edition today. It's with myself, Phil Wyman, Aaron Weedling Control as usual, and the lovely Sarah. Today we'll be talking about our haunted house and the sake. Let me try it without this on. Right, okay, you ready?
Whenever you're ready.
Hello and welcome to another Dead Haunted podcast, a little bit special one today, with myself, Phil Wyman, Aaron Weedling Control as usual, and the lovely Sarah. Today we'll be talking about our haunted house, yes, our very own haunted house experiences, and we'll be hearing from Sarah the experiences that she's encountered here. Oh, God, that sounded awful. Right, okay, go for it. Hello and welcome to yet... Do you want to be a team leader for Dead Haunted? Well, stay tuned, listen up, and listen out. I got the end bit wrong.
Okay.
Yeah,
go from, and we'll be talking about team leaders.
Okay. And we'll be talking about team leaders. Do you want to be a team leader for Dead Haunted? Well, listen in, stay tuned, and f***ing shut up. God. Right, okay. Ready? And we'll be talking about team leaders. We'll be on the lookout for team leaders in 2013. And if you fancy the job, stay tuned. What do I say? Sit down, listen, stay tuned. Was it?
Sit down.
Listen
up. Stay tuned. Sit down, stay tuned.
And listen up.
That's
it, okay.
Just do that bit.
Here we are then, podcast number 24. Can you believe it?
Well, this one. Sorry, you can have to do that again. Who banged the microphone?
Not me.
Aaron.
No. Mine's attached to my head. I'm nowhere. I'm
so
not
is mine. Something went bump.
I might have blown on me, Mike. I don't know. Yeah. Here we are.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, we've lived in this house now since April 2012. It dates back to 1300s. Part dates back to 1300s. Right, yeah. I'll just answer your question again.
Sure.
Yeah.
Ben and... did you get that noise then?
Yeah, you just say it again.
Okay. Right, so the second one, it was only about a week or so...
That's rumoured to have had Henry VIII... that's the bedroom that's rumoured to have... And we've had Wayne and Donna Dean stop over, who are obviously had two of our...
Sorry. <Ooh. coughs> The tea went down the wrong hole.
All right.
Start that again. We've had Wayne and Donna Dean.
If it's not doing you any harm... Then just put up with it. You're obviously sharing the house with somebody that obviously loves the house as much as you do. Or I'll start again because that sounded rubbish. Sarah, you say something.
Well, that's just about it then for this mini mid-month podcast. This little bite-sized nugget of paranormal information. It's a goodbye from me.
And me.
Where was that going? I just no idea.
That was a cheese.
Yeah, yeah. Aaron, what were you to say? What I want to say is, okay.